This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this Sunday is according to Isaiah and Luke. To begin with a baseball analogy, at each promise of God, we may say in our heads, batter up. That means God's word is like a batter facing a brutal pitcher known as sin, death, the devil, the world, your old Adam, whatever. At each pitch comes, we sometimes bite our nails as eager fans asking this question. Does God's word accomplish all that he proposes, or will he whiff? Does he ever swing and miss? Of course, the answer is a resounding no. God himself makes this clear, speaking already 7 centuries before the birth of our Lord, the incarnation. God declares to Isaiah, well, and to all the Israelites through Isaiah, he says this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God doesn't whiff. He doesn't miss. And I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot easier to believe when I'm actually seeing the results I was expecting to see. But you know as well as I do that there are plenty of times when it certainly looks like the big old swing and a miss. Even the gospel lesson seems to reinforce this. All that seed that was sown only to be devoured and choked out and scorched and withered. Yes, the seed that fell on the good soil did produce 100-fold. Praise God, right? But what about that other seed that didn't? And let's face it, looking to real life only serves to reinforce the belief that there are plenty of times that God does a swing and a miss. We don't see the fruitful results we're looking for. We only see failure. No matter how much we call upon God, no matter how much we pray and read our scriptures and come to church, no matter how much Jesus we throw at a situation, we still only wind up facing emptiness and void. We see a great big gaping hole in the midst of our hopes, in the midst of our expectations, and God doesn't seem to be filling it like I told him to. Just think of all the times that you've prayed to God and were left feeling like you struck out. The results you prayed for never came to fruition. It hurts, doesn't it? Talk about feelings of void and emptiness. God's word accomplishes all that he wills? Seriously? His word and will always succeeds? There are times that we're left thinking that's either a lie, or God doesn't always succeed, or maybe God is just a capricious jerk who is apparently okay with crushing me once in a while. If that's the case, well then, he certainly is succeeding. But maybe that's the whole problem. We're not looking for the right things. Too many times we look in the mirror for God. Maybe we're looking for the wrong things. Maybe we're not seeing what God is showing us. In all those apparent failures and all those times of apparent void and emptiness, You're looking for results, right? Your desired results. And when those desired results aren't witnessed or aren't experienced, you're quick to draw conclusions of failure or worse. But is that what God would have us to see? So let's get back to the parable for a second. It wasn't just the good soil that produced results, was it? All those other soils, all those other circumstances produced results. No, they weren't the results that anyone would anticipate or hope for, but they were the results nonetheless. The birds are snatching the seeds away before it can take root. The rocks provide no moisture or nourishment for the seed to take root and grow. The thorns and weeds are choking out the young growth. And your Lord makes clear what all these different things represent. Because he starts by saying, I'm telling you a parable, a parabola, which means a story. The devil is snatching away the word from the heart. The rocky soil represents those who hear the word and rejoice, but since there's no roots, they spring up in belief and just as quickly fall away when the heart gets turned, when the heat gets turned up. They have no nourishment. They have no moisture. It's no wonder they wilt and die. And as for the thorns and weeds, the cares and riches and pleasures and worries of life rise up and choke out the faith. Bottom line, the result is no growth, no harvest. Now, before we get too far and turn this into a how-to lesson on successful mission and evangelism, which often happens, consider the fact that our forefathers, as I was mentioning today in the early 400s when this lectionary was put together, when they appointed this text to be heard, think about when they chose. It was in the weeks leading up to Lent. Yes, there's no denying that the text speaks to the realities of mission and evangelism. No one disagrees on this. At least I've never heard somebody say, that's crazy. This is the reality of sowing seeds, the seeds of God's word. It will and does take root in good soil and produces good fruits. It also will, and often does, mind you, not take root and produce the growth and fruits that we hoped for. That's reality. However, this lesson is not a how-to tutorial, as in, sow the seed only in good soil, and don't waste your time sowing the seed in all those other places, because it won't produce the intended results. We don't know that. God can plant a tree in the middle of the sea, mind you. Nothing is impossible for God. The very fact that prostitutes and tax collectors and condemned thieves repent and believed and are saved, as we see in the scriptures, well, that's proof. Because by cultural definition, prostitutes, tax collectors, and condemned thieves are not called good soil by anybody. The very fact that the good soil of the Pharisees only proved to be hard as a rock and full of devilish birds and weeds is proof of this as well. The Pharisees were thought to be the experts on all things good and all things religious and all things spiritual. And yet Jesus would say to them, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you doing? What are you saying to these people? Stop it! All of this is obvious, absolutely true, but that's not why this text is appointed for our hearing on this particular day. Because in all things, when we're understanding, we need it to be in context. So before I go any further, I want to take you back to the words of our God and Father, words that He spoke at the baptism of Christ, words that He again spoke at the transfiguration of Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Listen to Him. God has never said that our will and our desires will always succeed or succeed at all. Never. What God has so clearly said is that His word will always succeed. His will succeed. What is God's endeavoring to show you by means of this parable? What is God revealing to you about yourself by means of this parable? Do you sometimes allow the seed of His word to immediately be snatched away? Do you sometimes immediately dismiss what you hear because you don't like it? Because you don't like the word? Because you don't like the pastor? Because you don't like who's saying it or the devotion you're reading it in? Do you sometimes just dismiss it because it doesn't sit well with you? Boy, you should have been in Bible study today. We were all over that. Woo! Kid you not. Pretty much filled with just sexual innuendo. Oh my gosh, it was so charged in there. Because it was things that were really uncomfortable that we were talking about. So, never. What God has so clearly said is that His word will always succeed. His will always succeeds. What is this endeavoring to show you? Do you sometimes allow the seed of His word to be snatched away? Things that don't sit well with you. Hey, by the way, as people were saying, as I had a long conversation with Bible study about a conversation I had with a pastor of another denomination, that they were trying to disregard God's word because she literally said to me, "Well, things are different. Things have changed. Times are different now. It's different in my particular case." And of course, I was like, "Oh, really? Is it? Is it really? God's word is eternal and unchanging. Sin is still sin. Murder, adultery, promiscuity, gossip, divorce, they are all just as sinful in God's eyes today as they were from the very beginning. But rather than repent of the sin, you dismiss it. You condone it. You justify it. And then you wonder why you feel so empty and disconnected from God. Are you sometimes just not rooted in the life-giving good soil of Christ's word and His sacraments? These are the questions I often ask Lutherans. When life hits the fan, and I will say life, and you're feeling parched and wilted and empty, if we're being honest, is it because God all of a sudden failed? He swung and missed? Is it because God has failed, or is it because you're not rooted in Him? You're rooted in yourself. The same goes for the weeds and the thorns of this life. Remember, they rise up and choke us out. How many times have you had more important things to do? How many times have the pleasures of life kept you from Christ and His good gifts? Have the worries of life kept you from these good things of true life and nourishment? And yet, I say, you lament about how God seems so distant. How God doesn't seem to be coming through and fixing the problems of the hurts and the sorrows. There's mean things, and I'll say that, like big brothers do to little brothers. They take your hand and they hit you. And they go, "Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?" I'm sorry, maybe I'm the only one. Oh, I'm recording this. Sorry, Carl and Robert. But the truth is people are doing that. They're walking or they are running backwards. and going, God, why are you so far away? Why are you so far away? Why are you so far? It's just this running away. Why are you hitting yourself thing? It's just not factual. So, dear children of God, in all these instances, which we can certainly relate to, the results are plain to see. You aren't the squeaky, clean Christians in perfect soil that you think you are. Dear children of God, listen to the words that He Himself has taught you to pray. Thy will be done. There's nothing in there about my will. Thy will be done. And what is the will of the Father? Well, if we're going to listen to the prayer that we learned in our catechism, the prayer that the disciples literally said, Lord, teach us to pray. So He teaches us this. Thinking in terms of results, looking to the cross. Here is the will of the Father. It's why I don't have a big deal over it, but it's why I like crucifixes more than just plain crosses. Because you actually see, well, what happened when St. Paul says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. No, it's not more spiritual. No, it's not anything. But I'm a visual learner and I like visual aids. And the church has had this one. And we look to the cross and say, this is the completion. This is the will of God. And you're saying, well, that doesn't look very fun. I think that's why I like it. Because it's hard to look at a crucifix and go, huh? It's hard to look at Christianity at a crucifix and go, uh-huh. But does the crucifix look like anything we'd ever anticipate or hope for in terms of witnessing the love of God? But that's exactly what it is. This is the incomprehensible love of God for you, nailed to a cross for your forgiveness, for your life. Literally for your salvation. When St. Paul says, we preach Christ and Him crucified, that's what he's talking about. The will of God is that no man dies in his sin. The will of God is that all turn from their sin and hold fast to Him and His undeserved grace, mercy, and peace that surpasses all human understanding. That's why it's wrong. That's why we don't say, well, there's certain people that we don't preach to. There are certain people that, you know, really don't deserve this. The will of God is that all people hear this. It is for everybody. We don't get to decide that person over there, well, that dude is surrounded by birds. We're not even going to throw any seeds over there. Have you seen Weed Central over there? No way. We're not doing it over there. We know exactly what's going to happen over there. Or those rocks, no way. Those rocks only have a little bit of dirt on them and they'll just spring up. It's literally wasting our time. We don't get to make that call. The results of His love for you are plain to see. On the cross, even here in your very presence, in church, in hearing. Take and eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This love for you will never fail. God says, my grace is sufficient. And it is. Here's the proof. Here are the results. You won't find it in your bank accounts. You won't find it in your waistline. You won't find it in the amount of cool things that you have, possessions. All of God's will rotates around saying, you're my lost sheep and I'm bringing you home, bringing you to be with me. Those are the results. That's all that needs to be said. May this seed of His law and gospel take root in your heart and spring up to bear abundant repentant, God-pleasing fruit. May you ever, by His grace, be the good and receptive soil He desires for all of you. May you never strive to be the shallow soil of worldliness. May you never strive to be one of those people that would look more like a weed. May you never strive to be one of those people that swoops down and takes the Christian good word away from people so that they are there and they're gobbled up. May this gracious and divine reality give you the very results He intends, which are His peace, which surpasses all understanding. And may this same peace guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Him from now until the time when the Lord of the harvest mercifully calls you home and plants you firmly before His heavenly throne with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven and all eternity. May each and every day be a reminder to you, no matter what you have on your list, no matter what you're doing, I didn't mean to make a Fred Meyer quote there, but no matter what your day looks like, let it always begin with this. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.